Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Exodus. Turn into Exodus chapter 14 this morning. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll be reading from verse 5 and reading right down to the end of the chapter. I know we have a long reading, but we just really want to do an overview of this. Give this message this morning a simple title. It's called Faith in Action. And I think it's something we very much see here with regards to Moses and to the children of Israel as they cross the Red Sea. I say this will be a chapter so well known to us, but I trust it'll come with freshness to us here this morning, be an encouragement and be a help as we seek to live by faith, as we seek to live for God in these days. The Word of God reads, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the king of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, who, or when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And there at the end of the chapter, we know God will bless his word to our hearts this morning. For those of us who are saved this morning, how is it that we are to live our lives? Well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 simply tells us that the just shall live by faith. Likewise, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we're told, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." As I say, that's a simple exhortation to us, or these are simple exhortations to us as to how we're to live our lives. Yes, we're blessed with eyesight and that we can see around us each day, but yet what we know is that for us who are saved by grace, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Whenever it comes to faith in the Word of God, of course we think of Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith, about living by faith, and 16 times in Hebrews chapter 11, the phrase "by faith" is found, is used there. And really what it means is, or when it's talking about the people there, is that it's speaking of people who went into the future trusting in God and for God to work in their circumstances. What we need to note is that often it was them standing alone and being the only one who were trusting in God. What we also see is that for many of them, maybe for all of them, it was never having seen God do what they wanted him to do. They never saw it happen before. For many of them, and say for most of them, maybe for all of them, they didn't even have the Word of God as we have it. Well, we know they didn't. Where they couldn't turn to the Word of God and say, "Well, here's what we've seen God do before. Here's what we read of." They weren't able to do that. And yet, what we see is that they lived by faith. And say, most often it was not having a clue as to how God could work in their situation. And really, as we come today to the Word of God, I don't know what your situation is. In fact, none of us know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what the week lies ahead. But what we know is that what God asks of us is that we live by faith. We're not to be like the impala, which is a type of deer. Remember hearing a story about, or even seeing it on I think it was on YouTube, I saw it. And the impala that were housed in a particular zoo that, well, actually the impala, for those of us who, or for those who aren't aware of the impala was created by God to jump great heights. And when you watch it on video or whatever, you see that they can jump great heights, they can jump great lengths. But these impala that were in a particular zoo, the amazing thing was about them was that they weren't able to jump a 3-foot wall that was surrounding them. People were amazed when they read or they knew about the impala and knew that they could jump great heights, knew that they could jump a tremendous length, and certainly if they were in the Olympics doing the long jump, well, they would win it every time. But yet these impala that were in this particular zoo, all they had around them was a 3-foot high wall, and not one of them ever escaped. Not one of them ever tried even to jump that wall. And somebody, I think, was curious as to why this was the case. And they asked the question to the zookeeper. And what they were told was this, is that the interesting thing was is that the wall, the height of the wall, was just a little bit above the height of their eyes. And for the impala to jump and to land, they always had to see exactly where they were going to land. But with the 3-foot high wall just simply above their eye level, what it meant was that they could never see where they were going to land if they tried to jump the wall. And therefore they didn't jump. Therefore they didn't try and escape from it all. And really for us in the Christian life, is it not that we can't see where we're going to land? But yet what God asks us to do is to what? To go forward by faith. to go forward trusting in Him. We're not to be like those impala that were in that zoo that say wouldn't go, wouldn't jump because they couldn't see where they were going to land. Say, we can't see where we're always going to land, but yet what is it God asks us to do? He asks us to go forward by faith. You see, faith is not just something to do with salvation. It's the Christian life. It's to be the Christian life, and what an exciting life I believe it is whenever we live by faith, whenever it is faith in action. And whenever we come to Exodus chapter 14, that's very much what we see here with regards to Moses and the children of Israel. In fact, Hebrews 11 and verse 29, it tells us about these words that we have here in Exodus 14. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. So what we see here is faith in action. Faith in action, I believe, involves a number of things. That's really just what I want us to really just focus on for a few minutes this morning, and really looking at the life of Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. I want you to notice, first of all, that as we're asked to live by faith, that faith in action walks, first of all, with God. Or first of all, walks with God. I think this is crucial. As I say, what I mean by this is that the person who lives by faith is in continual contact with God. You see, this is the all-important starting point to it all. And really the starting point for Moses very much was the burning bush experience that we read of in Exodus chapter 3. And you'll know the story so well. But really what we note in the Word of God is that from here on, what we see is constant communication with God. We see a man who walked with God. We see a man who listened to God. We see a man who talked to God. We see a man who made sure that God was part of his life every day. And really what we need to learn from this is that we will only learn about God and hear from God whenever we walk with Him. In other words, fellowship with God is absolutely essential. So often I hear people say, and I'm sure you hear them say, maybe you've said it yourself. I know I've said it myself as well, is that sometimes we say, well, I'm not hearing God speak to me in these days. Well, the question we need to ask is, well, are we taking time to listen to God? Are we listening to His Word? Or are we found alone with God, spending time with God each day in His Word? In fact, over the past week, have we taken time just to be still and to know that He is God? Taken time from the busyness of life, from the rush of it all, and just getting alone and being with God and with His Word, and letting Him speak into us in the midst of the quietness. Are we a people of prayer? Are we spending time with Him in prayer? Are we a people come to the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of the brethren as the manner of some is? That we're not just people who come to church on a Sunday morning, but people who are found with the church and the Word of God whenever the church comes together, or for the younger people, for young people, or in the youth fellowship. You see, there's something that is key that is key to faith and action. And you see, whenever you commune with God, you learn about God. It's whenever you commune with God, it's whenever you walk with God that you learn about God. That you learn about His greatness, that you learn about His majesty, you learn about His power, you learn about His faithfulness, you learn about all of His promises. Say so much. To say what you do is that you learn so much of who God is. And this, I believe, is key to how far we will go with Him in the walk of faith, is it not? It's coming up to springtime. I don't know if you remember back, maybe it was 10 years ago, maybe a bit more. It was the one thing we often saw on TV. Whenever it came to springtime, an advert on TV for Northern Ireland was to go walking. And the whole thing was about getting out and enjoying the fresh air, getting your body into good shape again. But yet I wonder this morning, is in spiritual life, is that what some of us need to do? We've maybe been through a dark period of the winter, as it were, in a spiritual context. We haven't been with God as we should be. But we need to go walking with God once again. Moses was a man, when you read from Exodus 3, read on through, you see he's a man who walked with God. But faith in action not only walks with God, but what we see here as we really come to Exodus 14 is that faith in action waits on God. It waits on God. This is probably the hardest part of it all, is it not, for many of us this morning? Moses, somebody once prayed, "Lord, give me patience, but give me it now." As I say, we want to be a people who can wait on God. We want to be a patient people. But yet this is probably the hardest part of it all for us, especially, as I say, whenever we want everything immediately. I've been talking about technology this morning. Isn't that what technology does for us? It brings things to us so much more instantly. But yet even sometimes we get frustrated with technology because we want everything to happen immediately. I remember whenever I updated my phone back in September time of last year, and looking at the different phones, and the phone that I had was 3G, and thinking to myself, well, what do I get here? And somebody said, oh, you have to make sure you get 4G. Now, to some people, it's probably thinking, well, what's the difference? But I even wondered to myself, well, what's the difference? But to me, it was an indicator of what society is like, because 4G might get the stuff on your screen maybe half a second quicker than what 3G would. But yet that's the type of people that we've almost become. We want everything so much quicker. We want it there in an instant. But yet what we must see is that sometimes in life, God wants us that we wait on Him. And perhaps today that's what you are, and where you are in the waiting room. Sometimes in the waiting room, can't it be very hard? Go to the doctor, go to the dentist. You're sitting there in the waiting room. You want to know what the doctor is going to say. Sometimes it can be very hard. Exodus 14, look here with regards to Moses. It says here, and when Pharaoh, verse 10, Exodus 14, it says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, remember the situation here, they've come to, the children of Israel have come to the Red Sea. Moses is a man who's communing with God. He's in fellowship with God. But they're surrounded whenever they come to the Red Sea. The sea is before them. And what is it they hear? The children of Israel, they hear behind them the Egyptian army. It says, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it being better that for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? You see, what we see here is it became tough for Moses. What were the people doing? The people were complaining. They were really complaining. It almost looked like defeat to them. And say, what is it the Israelites wanted to do? They wanted to go back to Egypt again. But what is it we read in verses 13 and 14, two beautiful verses? Is it not for us in life as we make our way through life? Moses, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, what were the people were doing? They were complaining. They were saying to Moses, will we not be far better going back to Egypt? Will be far better dying there than dying here? But Moses, as he saw and heard, no doubt, the Egyptian army coming towards them, looked that way and he looked the other way, and there was the Red Sea. This vast amount of water before them. Remember, they couldn't swim because they had been slaves. When you're a slave, you don't learn to swim or anything like that. There was no boats for them to get across. Here Moses was standing in the midst of it all, and the people, they were complaining. They were saying, Moses, you have to do something immediately. You have to sort this out. And what is it, Moses? He said to them this. He says, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fortunate thing for Moses was that he didn't have to wait too long to see God do a miracle. But yet is it not that this is not always is the case, as we sometimes have to wait in our own lives for long periods of time before we see God work. But yet even if it is that day that we're going to see God work, is it not that as we often say, that a few minutes can seem like hours when you're sitting waiting. Sitting waiting in that doctor's room and waiting for the diagnosis or the prognosis, or you're sitting somewhere else and you're waiting to hear news of something. Those few minutes, it can seem like hours. Or maybe a few hours can, as we would say in this part of the world, it can seem like an eternity. It almost seems that time has stopped us. Time is standing still, and just even a few minutes seems like forever. And yet, what is it Moses was able to say? He says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Oh, today that we would wait upon God. I remember a number of years ago, as I say, I'll be sharing a little bit about Coaching for Christ this evening, but I remember this time 3 years ago, we as an organization, we made a big decision in that we were renting a little office in a building in a Hockle. It was a massive building, and really Stephen, who leads the organization, who started all, I'll be sharing a little bit about him this evening. But this time 3 years ago, well, just at the end of January, Stephen felt that we should purchase the building. The thing was this, that the building that we were in or renting it as just a small part of it all, the thing was that it wasn't for sale, and number two, we didn't have the money. And that was the end of January 2013. But yet the amazing thing was, is after we prayed and sought the Lord, our directors all looked into the whole thing and spoke to the owners and so forth. We got the keys of the building on the 1st of September in 2013. Now, what was agreed between the two sets of directors was that we would pay them off, the previous owners, we would pay them off in an installment over a period of time. That was all agreed, and it all sounded good, especially when it was the summer of 2013. And we thought, well, this can be paid off over a period of the years that they decided on. But what they asked was is that the first payment that we would make would be the down payment, would be the main payment. Would be much bigger than all the other payments that we'd have to make in the years that follow. And really what they asked us was that at the end of March 2014, so 7 months after we got the keys for the building, they asked that we would pay them £100,000. Now, we started praying for it, and when you're in the midst of the summer 2013 and into September and all, and end of March seems a long way away, you think to yourself, well, the £100,000 will come in no problem. We started to pray for it. We had special prayer times and we sought the Lord, and we had it in our own minds. Here's how the Lord would do it. What the Lord would do is he would be touching people's hearts, and maybe a check for £50 would come in, or maybe a check for £500 would come in, or maybe even £5,000. Maybe the odd check for £10,000 would come in. And that would happen over the winter months, September, October, November, December, January, February. We would get into March, maybe we would have 80,000, 90,000. So one final push, that would get us up to the 100,000. We could pay it by the end of March. We came to the very last Sunday in March 2014. The deadline was the Friday after that. You know something? Whenever we came to that last Sunday in March, there wasn't even one gift had come in for the £100,000. Not one gift. But yet we were absolutely sure. Everything else seemed to all fall into place. So we were absolutely sure this is what God wanted us to do. That God wanted us to buy this building, that God wanted us to have this building. And yet what I saw in Stephen was a man that, yes, at times he'll confess that maybe his faith wasn't what it'd be, but he kept saying, God will provide. God will meet the need. God will do it in his way. I remember going off, leaving the office on the Friday and thinking to myself, where are we going to be with all of this the following Friday and deadline day? £100,000 to pay. We didn't have the money. We had some money gathered up from our charity shop in Ballymena. But it wasn't a huge amount of money. But yes, Stephen was a man who waited upon the Lord. Do you want to know something? By Sunday evening, we had the £100,000 to pay off for that Friday. Stephen got one phone call. Phone call from somebody that if you said to Stephen, who do you think would ever donate some money to help us pay off the £100,000? It was people that he never would have even put on a list. Got a phone call to go to the house about 5 o'clock Sunday evening. He got that phone call. People said, will you please come and see us? Stephen had a busy 2 weeks ahead of him. He says, I'll come and see you after all of this. When all these things, and they said, no, we need to see you now. So Stephen said, right, okay, I'll come round. He says, I'm on my way to church. I was going home to get freshened up to go out to church. And he says, I'll call on the way through. And the people says, please do that. Round to the house, the people brought him in, him and his wife, Alison. They said simply, he says, we'll just get straight to it. He says, how much do you owe? He says, we owe £100,000. The people says, how much do you have? Told him we had some money from the charity shop, but we were well, well short of the £100,000. He says, well, the reason we have you here today is because the money that you need to make it up to the £100,000, we're giving that to you today. Stephen sat there, I think, awestruck. After a few minutes, the people said to him, says, Stephen, you're not going to say something. He says, I want to ask you a question. He says, tell me this. He says, why are you doing this? He says, the reason I'm asking this is because, number one, he says, you're not in Coaching for Christ. He says, number two, he says, nobody has ever asked you for the money. And he says, number three, you're not involved in the world of business and finance. And they said, oh, we can answer that so simply. They said, this time 3 weeks ago, the Lord laid it in our hearts that we are to give to you the money that you need to make it up to £100,000. Stephen, in fact, met them then on the Thursday after that, and he says to them, he says, can I ask you a question? He says, how do you feel? He says, you've handed over a huge amount of money. This is, oh, we can answer that so easily. We feel liberated. We feel blessed. You see, whenever we wait upon the Lord, I'm saying that the Lord will do it in his way. We'll see the hand of God at work. You see, faith in action, it walks with God in communication with God, but it waits on God. But what we also see, well, I see time is gone just very quickly. Highlighted to you. You can check this out in the rest of the chapter. But what you see, thirdly, is that faith works with God. Faith works with God. That's what Moses did. You see, here in Exodus 14, verses 15 and 16, well, what we see is that God instructed Moses to do something. Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then what we see is that God instructs Moses to lift up his staff and stretch out his hand. And in verses 21 and 22, we see that Moses stretched out his hand in obedience to God. And then after the people had passed through, the Egyptian army were coming into the Red Sea. What we see is that then Moses again, he stretched out his hand a second time for the waters to close in. What we see is that Moses worked with God. William Booth, he said this, he says, faith and works should travel side by side. Step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, and then works. And then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. You see, faith doesn't mean we just sit and do nothing. And say, well, God's going to do it all. You see, God has asked us So many things in the Word of God He has asked us to do, He tells us to do. We know that God is able to save people. We know that God will save people from every tribe and nation. But yet what is it He says to us? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a work for us to do. There was a work for Moses to do. God could so easily have divided the Red Sea without Moses ever lifting up his staff and his hand, but yet that's what God instructed Moses to do. And what we see is that Moses obeyed. And God did a wonderful work. Faith in action walks with God. It waits on God. It works with God. But then what we see is that faith in action watches God. And isn't this the lovely thing about it all? This is where we see God do a most amazing work. You'll see that in verses 29. If you turn to verse 29, it says, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Say, faith in action, it watches God. Watches God do the work. Do what we cannot do. What is it God is able to do? Somebody has described it like this. I think it's lovely. God is able to make a mess, a message. He's able to make a test, a testimony. And He's able to make a trial, a triumph. Isn't that lovely whenever we consider who God is today? As we maybe look into a week of uncertainty, as we maybe are looking at circumstances today and we're wondering, how's it all going to turn out? Remember this, He's able to make a mess, a message, a test, a testimony. And He's able to make a trial, a triumph. Oh, today that we would trust in Him, we would walk by faith. Let Him see, or let Him do His work. Say, time's gone. Faith in action walks with God, waits on God, works with God. It watches God. You can read, say, more about that here in this chapter. And then into chapter 15, well, that'll be your homework for this afternoon. Faith in action worships God. Because that's what chapter 15 is. A song of worship. Where Moses, what did he do? He praised God. When you read through chapter 15, notice how many times Moses makes reference to God, not to himself. He didn't say, "I stood and I held up my hand," or "I held up the staff and here's what happened." No, no, what he did was every time he acknowledged that it was God. He truly worshiped God. And oh, that whenever we wait upon Him and we see Him work, oh, that we would be a people who truly worship Him and magnify His name and His name alone. May we be people who live our faith in action. It's faith in action each day. And indeed that we know the blessing of God upon all. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for Your help given. Thank You, Lord, for the power of Your word, for the promises of Your word. But thank You, Lord, for who You are. And Father, thank You that You are the great God who is able to do all things, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You know our circumstances, the week that we face. Lord, we pray that we as Your people would be a people who live by faith and not by sight. Perhaps, Lord, to some today, looking into a week, our Father, with great uncertainty, we pray, Father, that You will help them. They'll keep their eyes fixed upon You and see Your hand at work throughout this incoming week. Bless those who feel they must leave us now. Go with them. And for those of us who remain around the Lord's table, may Your continued blessing be upon us and Your name be glorified as we remember Him who gave His life for us, we pray in His name. Amen.